All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Today is the day that we've all been waiting to see who indeed will be the MVP. We know who the MVP of this show is. Nick Sciarra behind the glass, Barry to my right.
I thought you were going to say me. That's crap.
I'm here too. Usual Suspect four. Nice little potluck Thanksgiving in the office.
Yeah, was
today.
The food
turkey.
Good? Was the food good, you guys?
Indeed. Yeah, I noticed you didn't have any, Barry.
I
What's
did not.
The
deal? You guys should know this by now, but I don't participate in potlucks, not because I don't love you guys. I love this. I love you guys. I love Gal Media. I love our Gal Media family.
But there are hands with germs.
But if I've never seen your kitchen, I don't want to eat food from it. Because I don't know if you have roaches or if you have like nine cats that you let climb all over the counter.
Really? That's why you didn't eat?
Yeah. Because people have cats at the house and they let, like, I've been to people's houses where their cats will lay on the dinner table, or they'll get up on the counters and walk around. I'm like,
well, Nick,
that cat has piss paws. It's been in the cat box peeing and crapping, and then it covers it all up, and then it goes and walks on your counter? No.
Well, Nick and I haven't been to AJ's house. You have.
Well, no. AJ's house is clean. I've actually been there.
He has cats out there.
Yeah, that's why I don't partake. I'm just weird like that. It's me, not you.
No, that's cool.
Yeah.
That was so cool. Some mashed potatoes, and yeah. You missed out on some stuff.
If there was something that was store-bought, I would have probably eaten it, which is weird because I'm guessing that the store-bought stuff is actually dirtier than people's houses, but you never know.
There's plenty of store-bought. Ken Hoffman
stuff.
Bought a whole thing of donuts, and there's a whole bunch of desserts.
Donuts?
Yeah,
for a turkey thing?
I don't know.
What a weirdo.
This is probably one of the more weird Thanksgiving potlucks that we've had.
Really?
It was always good.
What was the weirdest dish other than donuts? Or was that it? That's
it's not,
it.
It's
well, there's
not
a
even
big
weird.
Tray of lasagna
I don't even know
in the middle of the table.
It was Damn it,
unique.
Granato.
No, Granato didn't bring
the
lasagna.
Oh, he didn't bring the Italian
no, and
dish?
No one would own up to it. And everybody said, who brought the lasagna? And AJ would wait 10 seconds and go, I did.
Yeah.
And they go, really? And he goes, no, but if no one claims it, I got to say I brought something.
So AJ's just eating without bringing anything?
I did
notice he showed up. His ass is never here this early.
I thought the same thing.
And then when you mentioned food, his fat ass was the first one here probably, 9 a.m.
I heard him
Here's
yelling
AJ.
In the hallway to Barry Warner. Talking about Barry's penis and how it doesn't matter anymore when you're your age, what it looks like or what it used to do. And they were going back and forth, and I'm going, really, guys? This is like not like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This is like everyone's in the office, and he's just screaming it down the hallway. I'm like, it's just another day.
Well, that's how we roll around here at Gal Media. We are definitely a fam, and we make fun of each other, and we have weird conversations, but it's all love.
Yep.
And I'm really enjoying this homework that I'm doing.
I know you are.
Feels weird to be looking at this at the office. I'm on Pornhub right now. This is weird. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a game later, and it's going to involve porn. So, kind of weird.
Way to set the table after the Thanksgiving talk, Barry.
We're going to see if you guys, how well you know your porn stars. We're going to find out. Joel, okay. I'm looking at you, bud.
Okay, pal.
Good times.
Yeah. Hey, so the MVPs tonight. Last night was the Cy Young Award. If you missed it, Clayton Kershaw did not get another one, but Max Scherzer sure did. He now is the 10th pitcher in Major League history to have won multiples of it. He has three now. And in the American League, no surprise, Corey Kluber. But tonight's what everybody's...
No surprise?
I didn't think so.
I mean...
Sale really fell off at the end of the year.
He did, but I still think it was a bit of a surprise because he was the front runner for the majority of the year. Even though Kluber pitched his ass off, Sale was, the front runner.
But by late August, I think everybody was already writing, it's, Kluber's to lose now. He had taken it over with the streak and the way he was throughout the streak and the way he had really come on late. And then, like I said, Sale kind of fell off at the end of the year.
What was the voting? Was it close?
I didn't see the final tallies.
Okay, I'm going to look
per
it up.
Se, but the one thing that did worry me, and it's not by someone that I think is overly reputable on Twitter, Nick, as we talked about, but I did see rumblings that people who know people in the know are already setting the table for an upset in the MVP tonight that Judge is going to beat Altuve. And there is going to be some hell to pay by a lot of angry people if that happens.
All right, your Cy Young voting results. Corey Kluber had 204 points, 28 first-place votes. Mm-hmm. Second place, Chris Sale, 126 points, 2 first-place votes. I would have thought it would have been a lot closer than that. Severino came in third with 73 points. Carlos Carrasco, fourth with 43. And Verlander came in fifth with 32 points. So no, there will be no tweets from Kate Upton.
Shocker, though, that Verlander was fifth because he didn't have a really great start of the year.
I'm with you.
Shocking that he's even in fifth. But you're right. I think look, Porcello got it. What was it? Porcello got it last year that he didn't when Kate Upton went nuts?
Yep.
They had a legitimate beef last year.
Yeah, this year not as much.
No, no.
In the NL, if you're interested in the results, 27 first-place votes for Scherzer with 201 points. Second was, again, 126 points, 3 first-place votes for Kershaw.
See,
Strasburg
Kershaw
in third, 2 Nats in the top three.
Well, and because you had 2 Indians in the top 4, so you know who's got pitching. But at the same time, I think if Kershaw doesn't get hurt, he's competing for it right till the end because he was like 17-3.
Yeah, you're probably right. And I tell you what, I mean, say what you want, but injuries included. I mean, Keuchel and McCullers, before both of them got
before
injured,
they got hurt.
They
sure
were top 10 pitchers. Yep. So there's no reason to think that they couldn't, like the Indians and the Nats, that the Astros couldn't have 2 guys listed in the top. Hell, they could have 3 guys in the top 5, top 6.
Yep.
So, yeah,
no question about it. And by the way, a certain trophy made its way through our station today as well, as the World Series championship trophy made its way through the halls
of
Gal Media.
Did you take a picture like everybody else?
I did.
Did you?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. Nick, did you get one?
Absolutely. I was
cool.
I didn't think I'd get one because it was brought during reality check, but I was able to get one. So,
was
of course,
the line
Barry
long?
Warner was bragging. He's like,
no,
I had one weeks ago.
There was no line.
Oh, he was. I had one.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, because he got a pass he didn't deserve, Nick. Let's be honest.
Shots fired.
Yeah. But, hey, when you're resting on your laurels of how long you've been in the business and how many of these things you've seen, that's how things happen around those
You are
parts.
On one today. I'm not
I'm
pissing
you
off. Yeah, I don't believe you being mean to me right now.
I'm telling you. That was cool. I mean, look, I don't get enamored by the NBA trophies because I was spoiled rotten to have them around so much when I was with the Rockets. But to see that thing up close, and I was going to look for where the flags were snapped off or who broke it at that event. But overall, it was pretty cool. It was pretty neat to have it in the office.
That is cool. I don't know. I mean, obviously we knew about it, but I just didn't care. I'll be honest. I don't know why. Because Tyler was like, are you going to take a picture? I was like, I don't really care. I don't know.
Tyler
I don't know why.
Juiced about
I thought you.
It.
I was. Thought you'd want to take a picture.
I thought I would too. I was
the Dodgers one. You would have done it.
Yeah. Don't please God. Don't start that. El Jefe will not leave me alone on Twitter. I was actually more excited that my Jordan 11s came in yesterday.
Oh, you got them.
Than I was to be able to take a picture with the World Series trophy. How sad is that? I even thought to myself, you know what? If I die on the way to work in a car wreck, at least I got my Jordan 11s in. The ones that, I mean, since I saw Jordan 11s that I wish they would have made.
Why are you not sporting them then?
I didn't want to look too eager. You know what I mean? You don't want to, you got to play it cool. Can't be all like first day of school. You ball out in all your gear. So I got them last night, posted a picture, but that's about it.
Okay.
I'll probably rock them next week.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I understand that because some, you know, you don't want to be
overzealous. Yeah, you don't want to. As soon as I like sleep in them, you know what I mean. Like when you got school clothes, you wear them that night. Those white jeans you really liked.
I get it. No, not that.
No? Okay.
I will say this though. I had Coca-Cola red and white plaid checkered pants when I was a kid.
Wait. That's a lot of description for a pair of pants. Coca-Cola
red. Coca-Cola red. So you know the red of Coca-Cola. It's like that really
red,
rich red.
Right.
Deep
red and white
plaid
big
pants? Plaid checkered pants, and my parents made me wear those bad boys the first day of school.
What?
Yeah.
Yep. I've got to Google these. Can we find a picture of these pants somewhere?
I don't think that they had the internet back then, so I don't think that they're available. But I just remembered I had to wear them, and I hated it. And I used to hate like trying to run out of the house before my dad would say, hey, before you leave the house, come here. And then he'd take his comb and give me the Ted Koppel comb over, and I'd have to mess my hair up when I got outside the front door. Yeah, those were the days, man. Those were the days. All right, so if you guys want to get in on the show, we're just getting started. 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P Lister line. You can call and you can text as we check text throughout the show. And also you can contact us via Twitter. We check our Twitter accounts throughout the program as well. It's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Lots of guests lined up today. Sarah Barshop, who covers the Houston Texans for ESPN, will join us at 1:30. And our fantasy football expert, Sigmund Bloom, is going to be here, as he always is, 2:30 on Thursdays. That means try to be ahead of the game. Get your questions in if you're going to text them or tweet them. And if you're going to call right before the 2:30 segment. And we'll take calls first and try and roll through as many as we can with rapid fire for Sigmund Bloom. We're happy you're here, a part of the show. And we continue on in just a few minutes right here on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Window World. I've been telling you for a long time now about how great the people are at Window World of Houston. Not only do they provide premium quality replacement windows at a great price, but their energy-saving windows are made right here in the U.S. of A, and they carry the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. Window World has become the country's number one window company because they offer a lifetime warranty, which is huge. If something goes wrong, you don't want to pay extra. You want it to be taken care of. It's a higher quality product. It's a lower price. They start at just $189 a window, and you get for $45 extra that Solar Zone Low E, which meets all Texas energy regulations. But the first step to lowering your energy bill, just call them, because they're going to come out to you and give you a free written estimate with no hassles, no high pressure, no strings attached. It's free, folks. What have you got to lose? They come to you, they check out what you have, they tell you how they can help you, they leave you the estimate, and they go about their business. If you want them to come back, you just call them back, 713-439-1172, or you log on to windowworldhouston.com. That's 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. Call them, set up that free estimate, have them get out to your house as soon as you can, and start saving money by getting with Window World. Simply the best for less. Give them a call.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started. Usual Suspects on a Thursday. Getting ready for an F Yeah Friday. And lots of stuff to talk about today. We have good guests. We've already told you about Sigmund Bloom, our fantasy football guru at 2:30, and you guys are already sending in your questions, which is fantastic.
At 101, we got our first question. We go on the air at 1 o'clock. I don't even know if we were on the air at 101
yet. We didn't even
plug
it yet.
And we had our first text for fantasy, so that's good. But that means get in line.
Yep.
Text it now, 713-780-3776, or call Nick and say, hey, can you set me up on priority when I call back at 2:30? So do that as well. Got our first text out of the shoot that was non-fantasy related. Said, Barry, why don't you just live in a bubble? You encounter millions of germs a day that you don't even realize. That was from Keith. Keith, I'm not as bad as you think or that I might portray on the air, but there's some things that I just won't do. I mean, just let me live my life. You live yours. I don't need to be in a bubble. I shake hands when it's appropriate, like in a business environment, but if I don't have to, I don't want to.
I mean, that's the best way to sum it up. Just you live your life.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't need to be in a bubble, but
well, Travolta made that movie back in the day. They could make
Bubble Boy.
They could remake it. Yeah,
wasn't that a real dude?
It was, but the that boy was because, in the plastic bubble.
But it was because he couldn't be affected by germs, or he would have died, right?
Yeah,
mine's just being weird.
Well, we could remake it though, with the weirdness of a boy in the bubble.
Somebody's already. It's not weird not trusting white people's cooking, Barry. Are you sure you're not black? This is one of our moves.
Wow.
Oh, that's hilarious. You guys are too much.
You know what's missing?
What's missing?
What was missing at the potluck, Nick? Macaroni and cheese. I thought someone was on the list for
and I thought
it.
I heard somebody say it, and then I looked around for it, and there was nothing.
There was no mac and cheese.
Oh, really?
We're not complaining.
No.
We have to be thankful.
thankful for everything.
That person
correct.
May not be here anymore.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What am I missing?
I mean, you know, we'll talk about it off air.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. As the world turns. Somebody said, we have a potluck at work tomorrow. Someone signed up to bring Payway fortune cookies. WTF. See, that's me too. If I sign up for something, I want to sign up for something to bring that's easy. I want to bring, like, for our Thanksgiving, for our family, I don't know how you guys do it, but we all bring a dish, you know what I mean, to kind of, like, whoever's hosting will make three or four things or do a bunch of, but everybody brings something. You know what I was tasked with bringing because they know me?
Napkins.
Bread. Bread.
Napkins they were like, would have been better.
Yeah. My 1 year, see, my sister's a terrible cook. She's, I think when I was a kid, I thought she tried to poison me because she made cookies with baking soda instead of baking powder. And I literally thought she was trying to kill me because they tasted horrible. But she's a bad cook. And so 1 year I was like, hey, why don't you just bring ice? Because you can't screw that up, right? We get to Christmas. She gets to my dad's house. She gets out of the car with the bag of ice. And as she's walking up the steps, she drops the bag and it busts open and ice goes everywhere. I'm like, how do you screw up ice? You found a way to screw up ice. How is that even possible?
Well, there's lots of ways it's possible. Not that your sister did it, but I'm dealing with it at the house right now. My wife keeps forgetting to get that filter for the refrigerator, for the which works with the ice machines and the water machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like the red light on it. You need a new filter for months. Now that I'm making smoothies in the morning, I need ice. Well, without the filter, it's not making the cubes anymore. And then I got to go to the door. And you go to the door, and no one has used ice from the door in so long that it comes out like snow.
Yeah, it's like real.
Yeah, and the cubes are all old ice. Crystallized. And I kept running it to do that, and then I just ran out of ice. And I was like, oh, hell, now I don't have any ice for a smoothie.
You got to change your ice every once in a while. That's the thing.
Yeah, we don't use ice.
Your ice gets old. Somebody said on the text line, how would Altuve lose if he produced in the World Series? That doesn't help his case because the MVP award is a regular season award, not a postseason
award. Voting was done long before that happened.
They don't take into account postseason stats or performance for the MVP award. So
yeah,
he won't.
No question. I hope he does win it, though, because, look, there is a lot of rumblings now that it's either going to be close or that Judge is going to upset him, and that is going to really upset everyone around here, and I don't blame them. When you look at the consistency of Jose Altuve for the entire season and what he did throughout the entire year without any big gaps where you had a falling off like Judge did right after the All-Star break, and the fact that your team won the division, and everything that happened after that, but the fact that all season long you were one of the top two or three teams in this league, I understand that it's New York. I understand that the home runs are a big, sexy thing. But, man, I'm telling you what, that guy's season, I hope, doesn't go by the wayside.
But
for
guess
MVP.
What? He got the one trophy that matters.
You're absolutely right.
If he doesn't win MVP, I really don't care. I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's the reverse of what James Harden was. You knew that the Rockets weren't going to win a national championship, so getting an MVP would have been great for James Harden and the Rockets and the city and everything like that, because then you could be proud of your basketball team because it's got the best player in the NBA at least for a year. But in this case, I don't care anymore. I cared more during the regular season and the postseason because I wasn't sure they were going to win the World Series. But now that they won the World Series...
See, but for Jose Altuve himself,
I'm sure
it means a ton.
Yeah, I ain't getting none of his extra money. I'm not getting any of that incentive money, so I don't.
And even if there isn't incentives involved, it means a ton when you look back at your career at the end of the day. And even for Hall of Fame, we know when we look at criteria and everything like that for Hall of Fame and other things, you want to be able to look back and say, I want a most valuable player.
So you don't think if Jose Altuve doesn't win an MVP, he's not in the Hall of Fame?
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that, but okay. I'm saying, look, we've looked at and we always say we need the criteria, but one of the things we do know that everybody looks at when trying to give these people these opportunities with the Hall of Fames and All-Stars and all the other things that we look at, the one thing that they definitely look at is, you know, what hardware have you won?
Yeah. Okay.
And this would only be the second in Astros history, too, behind the strike-shortened season where Baggy got it.
That felt like an asterisk a little bit, right?
Yeah, it didn't. It shouldn't have been, but it did. You're right. So, you know, I just hope you don't fall victim to the politics and the big city hype of New York and just the long ball, because his stats are just ridiculous.
They are. But so was Judge. I mean, especially for a rookie. It's hard to argue what he did, but I feel like
he got rookie of the year.
Yeah. Let him win MVP next year.
Right. Keep doing it.
Again.
Yeah, don't have to stop more slump and do it again.
Yeah, Jose Altuve's been doing it for four years.
4 years.
Do it again next year, Judge, and you'll get your trophy.
Go ahead.
I'm just curious, when the hell is it going to get cold?
Well, it's freezing
in here.
It's
cold in this damn room.
No doubt.
It's November 16th. And I'm sweating on the way to work. It's going to be a
Barry. I was checking the Doppler this morning on my way
in. It's a high
of
83 tomorrow.
The cold front of two cold fronts that will be coming to the Houston area within the next 10 days. The first cold front is set to arrive between Friday night and Saturday, but before noon. Therefore, dropping the temperatures somewhere into the area of the 40s and 50s for highs. Now that's going to continue on through, and then another cold front is going to come in on Wednesday night, in which Thanksgiving is going to be in the 40s.
That's way more than.
Well, you asked. I told you.
You could have just said Friday. Like, you went off on a whole. Like, I just needed Friday.
Well, but I gave you more. That's what I do on a daily basis.
Thanks, Weather Joel.
I just continue to give you more.
Thanks, Weather Joel.
You're
so
welcome.
Friday, it's going to cool off?
Friday night to Saturday morning is supposed to start. And then the real big one is coming in on Wednesday. So Thanksgiving is going to be 40.
I'm ready for some snuggle weather.
Oh, boy.
Do you and Lisa snuggle? When it
sure.
gets cold?
Absolutely.
Or is she, or one of you guys, the get off me, I'm hot person?
No.
No?
No. Like, ideally, we both like it when the bedroom is really cold.
Yeah.
But we can't do that with the baby.
She's like 9 now, though. Shouldn't she be in her own room?
She's 2, and we're working
on it. I mean, are you going to, is it like, you know how when you teach a dog to go outside, you slowly move their potty pad towards the door? Is that what you're going to do? You're like, put a crib in the hall, and then down the hall?
About 6 months ago, or maybe less than that, maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, I had it to where we had her in her own room for a night.
Lisa blew it up.
And it worked. And the next night, I don't know what happened, where Taylor might have had a bad dream or something like that, or Lisa heard something, and that was it. It was over.
Yep, she caved. No more. Well, it's all right. She's a mom. It happens.
Oh, yeah. First time mom, too, so. All right, we'll continue on with the show in just a few minutes. Sarah Barshop's going to come up next. She is the Texans beat reporter for ESPN. So we're going to get her in here and get the state of the Texans that we need, that she gives us all the great information for. But before we do that, I want to tell you about the Texas Can Academies. I've been telling you about them for a long time now. Texas Can Academies do things to help kids in Houston get a second chance at an education. It's a great program, and it's all generated by your donations. You in Houston make donations, and those donations are turned into resources for kids in the Houston area. It's simple. It's a great process, and it can help you out along the way. If you have suffered devastation during Harvey, and whether your insurance company covered it or not, you've got a vehicle that's not running anymore and you need to get rid of it, here's all you have to do. Call 713-225-4226. Log on to Houston Cars for Kids. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you. They tow it away for free. They do all the paperwork. They give you a tax deduction, and they also give you a $50 gift card if you just mention ESPN 97.5. But that's where the process really begins, because you can feel good in your heart knowing that you made a donation that's helping others in the Houston area. Those donations that you give, they turn into resources so kids can get eyeglasses, book fair, bus money, all the different things that they might be lacking that they have thanks to your donations. Even warm meals, they're provided because of your donations. It's a great program, and it's all with your donations. And by the way, those donations don't have to be working, or they can just be completely non-working vehicles like trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs, anything. They'll take it and they'll use it and turn it into resources. Call them today, 713-225-4226. Log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. I'm telling you, they're going to tell you that you're going to help make a difference, and they're going to come to you and do the rest. Right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
From the gun, Bruce Ellington came in for Fuller in motion. One of three set up to the left, one to the right. Savage back to pass. Throws up the middle, caught by Ellington at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown, Houston! A chance to go in front on the 26-yard short dump.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
That call compliments of the Westwood One Radio Network. We appreciate that. And we also appreciate the fact that a regular contributor to the show, Sarah Barshop, is going to join us right now. You can follow her at Sarah Barshop on Twitter. A great follow. She has all kinds of great inside information on your favorite team, the Houston Texans, as she is the Texans beat reporter for ESPN. Sarah, thanks again so much for joining us and spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
Of course. Great to be back.
Right off the bat, big week, even though the team isn't, you know, playing up to what everybody had expected and Watson's out. But just the fact that they're going to induct Andre Johnson into the Ring of Honor or whatever they're calling it at NRG, a lot of people taking notice and saying that this is absolutely the right choice and it makes it a very special Sunday coming up against the Cardinals. Your early thoughts on Andre and being inducted?
Yeah, you know, I never got to cover him, but I spent this week kind of talking to players in the locker room just how much he meant to them and to this franchise. And actually, my story for tomorrow is about DeAndre Hopkins. And just, you know, it's not every day that receiver gets to play with a Hall of Famer, you know, a potential Hall of Fame receiver who, you know, mentored him in his first 2 years. And so he just kind of talked about the relationship and how special that was. So I know he said he was really looking forward to it. I don't know that they'll be on the field because it'll be at halftime, but I think the whole organization is just really looking forward to seeing him put into that Ring of Honor.
Speaking of receivers, what is Will Fuller's status? I know he was banged up, had a rib injury. Is he going to be available Sunday?
I don't think so. Bill said he expects him to miss the game, which means that Hopkins will get a little bit of help from Bruce Ellington. Bill O'Brien said they want to give him the ball more. But otherwise, you know, the depth chart is pretty thin at receiver.
Oh, well, that would lead me to my next question. So, I mean, as banged up as this team is, do you expect Tom Savage to start and finish this game?
I expect him to start and finish because I don't know that there's another option on the roster. So, I mean, at this point, I think you have to see what he can. I mean, even if you know what he can do, I think you give him every chance to improve and continue to play because I don't know that putting T.J. Yates or Josh Johnson does you much good.
Well, Sarah, we thought of you, and we thought very highly of you this weekend after that game because Bill O'Brien was crotchety, and then he started going into his Bill speak about it's on me and I haven't done a very good job coaching the team this entire year and all the other quotes that he gave everybody. And it just started leading me to believe, look, there's a lot of subliminal messages and a lot of things that O'Brien has said throughout the course of this year, from the Duane Brown situation to the Bob McNair situation with the quote to now some of these comments. And it, to me, it just seems like that we're headed down a path, regardless of how this team finishes, where one way or another, we may be having parting company between Bill O'Brien and the Texans because of all those subliminal messages, because of the fact that he said he doesn't make personnel decisions, and because of the fact that it just seems like it's all building on him. Have you gotten any of those indications?
Yeah, I think in any time you're going through a three-game losing streak, I think there are tensions there. I mean, not that I guess I wasn't too surprised by O'Brien's comments, and that's how he is usually after games, especially after a tough losing streak. And I think it's kind of wearing on this organization. They know how much Deshaun Watson meant to them and how much he helped them, obviously, on the field. And I think just the culture he brings to the locker room, too. And so I think just when you're in the midst of a losing streak, I think it kind of wears on everyone. But I think it'll be very interesting. I would assume that regardless, because O'Brien does have 1 year left on his contract, I don't think they'll let him play with that. So I assume right after the season ends, assuming that's, you know, not in the playoffs, that Bob McNair or Rick Smith, you know, will make a comment, either signing him to an extension or them deciding to part ways.
Joel mentioned how grumpy he was at the postgame. Who does Bill O'Brien hate more, John McClain, Adam Wexler, or Mark Berman?
You know, I was just glad not to be in the line of fire. I think he has a lot of respect for everyone, but he was tired of our questions. I think the best post-game moment we've had this year was, I believe, after the Indy game, when before anyone asked about, like, timeouts with management, he said, "I don't want to talk about any of that BS this week."
You meant to say John McClain, right?
I think he respects John McClain.
Okay, yeah. So John McClain, all right.
All right, Sarah, so again, I'll take your path here. Assuming they're not going to make the playoffs, and you look at this team, Barry and I have sat there and gone back and forth and trying to analyze what they're going to be looking for next season, and the obvious first choice was offensive line, but we said the three positions that should be most focused on would be offensive line, secondary, and then linebacker. Is that pretty accurate in your mind?
I think so. And I mean, the problem is with not having a first or second round pick. Now, I don't think you obviously take that first round pick back because you're happy to have Deshaun Watson, but without having any of the top, I mean, you're looking at the linemen that you got. If even in this year's draft, which I know was a weaker draft class, a lot of those guys went in the first or early second, like Cam Robinson. So I think you maybe have to spend money on, I don't know who it will be, but I wonder if they'll have to spend a lot of money in free agency to fix that offensive line.
So I guess looking at the rest of the season, is this what advice do you have for Texans fans? Because, I mean, as a fan myself, what's the reason to watch the game? Give me one reason why I should be watching Sunday.
I think seeing what DeAndre Hopkins has done without Deshaun Watson, even in those last two games, I think has been really impressive. But I would say maybe rewatch the game film from the weeks 2 through 8.
Okay. I got a better one for you. You follow this team, so you follow this division. This division race is going to be pretty interesting, even without the Texans involved in it. Tennessee does play tonight in a tough game against the Steelers. Jacksonville looks like they're coming on. How do you see this division playing out by the end of the season?
I think Jacksonville will win just because I think that defense is so good. Now, I think the Titans are going to be really good next year. I think they're going to take they had a good year last year, maybe a little step back this year. I think they'll be really good in 2018. But I think Jacksonville, maybe because I saw them in week one just really dominate the Texans offense. They call themselves Jacksonville. I mean, it was really impressive. So I just think, as we've seen in Houston the last couple of years, if you have a good defense, then, that at least gets you somewhere. So I think they'll win the division. I think they'll be close, maybe within a game. But, I think we'll see the Jaguars as the 2017 AFC South champions.
It's hard to believe with a guy like Blake Bortles at the helm. Everybody thought that because of him, he would hold them back and that they would not be anywhere near maximizing their potential. But, boy, you're right. That defense is fantastic. Obviously, Fournette's the real deal, and they have made do with when he has to throw the football. That's a hell of a turnaround for that team in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, we call them when we do our season predictions and everything. You know, it was like, well, they won the offseason this year. They had all these great signings, Adrien Boyer, all that stuff. But, they were the offseason champions last year, too, of the AFC South, so let's not crown them, soon. But, I said, we've got to see it before I believe it. And sure enough, they've shown it this year.
Hey, one thing I was curious about at the start of this previous game for the Texans was that Deontay Foreman got the start. And I know that probably doesn't mean much because it's about playing time and reps and all that, but is there anything to be made of that, why he started over Miller in the game?
I think the Texans are going to start to give him – I think the game plan was to give him kind of the bulk of the carries. Now, that didn't really work out because in the second half they could barely run the ball. But I think you're going to see him – I mean, Lamar Miller is still their number one back right now, and they really trust him in third downs more than they trust Foreman. But they see Foreman as, the future of running back for them. So I think we'll see him get more and more involved. And he's had a couple of close-to-big plays, right? Like he's – we saw more in the preseason, but I think in a couple of games you've seen a glimpse of what he can do. And I think the more curious he gets, the more chances he'll have to show why he was drafted so high.
All right, Sarah, as we do every week when we talk to you, it is the marquee matchup of marquee matchups. It's the premier in the NFL this weekend. It is Tom Savage against Blaine Gabbert. Who wins and why?
I have the Texans. I think I picked them 16-13. I think this defense, they've been trending. They didn't play as well in the second half, but I think they've come close to at least being more similar than the defense that we've seen in the past. So I think we'll get maybe a touchdown from the defense and 2 field goals, or 3 field goals, I guess. And so I picked 16-13 Texans.
God, that just sounds so depressing.
You got everybody so fired up, Sarah. They can't wait to get down to Kirby Street and get into that building.
Well, they'll enjoy halftime at least with Andre Johnson being inducted.
Sarah, tell the truth. You're jealous of the Astros reporter that gets to do this on a daily basis because they had a nice – Jake Kaplan had a nice fun little winning streak in a World Series, and you get the Texans.
Hey, I got to watch Deshaun Watson for 6 weeks, so I did enjoy that. And
okay.
I think, like everyone, I think next year –
there you go. Next year, keep hope alive.
Healthy, I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Sure, Sarah. Yeah,
you're keeping hope alive.
Of all the things you said, I was the least convinced about that. Good job.
All right, look for her article on DeAndre Hopkins and what Andre Johnson has meant to him, and look for so much more. Follow her on Twitter at Sarah Barshop. Sarah, we certainly appreciate you stopping in, and have some fun on Sunday.
Thanks. Great to talk to you guys.
Thanks.
There you go. Sarah Barshop on the HRNP listener line.
Good stuff. I always enjoy having her. we all know that Harvey has come and gone and left its devastation, and it still lingers in this city. And you know what? There's something you could do about it if you're rebuilding. And I know that a lot of you guys still haven't got your house back to normal. Maybe you're still living in a hotel waiting on that FEMA check and you don't know what to do. That's where Gulf State Homebuyers can help you guys. And I don't know if you've considered this yet, but I want you to listen for a second and think about this. So you've got a bill in your hand that you know what it's going to cost to fix your house up again. And that's great, but you might be sitting there thinking, do I really want to go through this again? I mean, my house has flooded before, or maybe it didn't and this was the first time, but now you know that your house can flood. Do you want to rebuild and then take that chance again, or maybe sell it and move somewhere where it doesn't flood? That's where Gulf State Homebuyers can help you, because you've got half of the equation. You know what it's going to cost to fix it up, but you don't know what you can get for it, cash money in hand. And Gulf State Homebuyers can give you that quote. Give them a call, 281-717-6100. They're going to come out. They're going to give you a no obligation cash offer evaluation on your home. And then you take that and you compare it to what it's going to cost you. And now you make an informed and educated decision on what the next step is for your family and for your home. And when you're dealing with Gulf State Homebuyers, you're dealing with a company that has won the Distinction Award from the Better Business Bureau the last 2 years, 2016 and 2017. So what does that mean? It means you're dealing with a great company that you can trust. They've got a complete professional in-house staff that's ready to take care of you. They handle everything, all the paperwork. Once you make that call, once you decide to take that leap and get that cash offer from Gulf State, they handle everything. Attorneys, title companies, you don't have to worry. You sit back, relax, and let them do all the work for you, and you're in good hands when you work with them. Gulf State Homebuyers, 281-717-6100, or hit them up on the web, gulfstatehomebuyers.com. The folks at Gulf State, they're there for you, and together we will keep Houston strong.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects.
Another special thanks to Sarah Barshot for joining us, where she stops in periodically. We appreciate her and her insight on the Texans. As we continue to knee-deep into the show. And
somebody just
deeper.
Texted the show and said, we can cuddle, Barry, because I made the question about cuddling when it gets cold.
It's the way our listeners care,
Barry. I need a picture. If you're a dude or a chick, I just need a picture before I commit to cuddling with you.
You mean you need your wife's permission, too.
I mean, yeah, we'll get that. Well, okay. We'll cross that bridge. Right. But that may be a moot point if whoever is offering is ugly.
I don't know why Matt Thomas cuddle is with texting ugly. The show. I just don't
is
get
he
it.
Is he a cuddler?
I don't know that either.
If
I looked at Matt Thomas, I would think he's a cuddler.
Yeah? You think he's the big spoon?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's the Audi. All right.
But he is a major market radio host. Just ask him. So we continue to roll on. I saw an article that I was going to ask you about that was a little bit perplexing to me, but our man Jake Kaplan, who you mentioned in the previous segment, the beat writer for the Houston Chronicle, has an article out about, did the Astros need to go out and get a left fielder? And then halfway through the article, he says,
changes
you know,
mind.
Does it, no, do, is it, it would be the person that would replace Aoki on the roster and fill in with either a left-handed bat or a switch hitter. But that Marwin was too important to just have him be your left fielder because you can move him around all over the place. Look, Marwin, there were very few games that he was not in the lineup at some position last year. But you can't take that bat out of the lineup.
No. Nope.
Was my biggest concern.
You
and
then,
are so they
correct.
Were like, do you turn it over to Derek Fisher or do you just look for another platoon situation with Mariznick and Aoki so Marwin can move around? Look, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And Marwin's bat, like I said, unless he really falls off, it's got to be in the lineup somewhere unless you're going to make him a DH and or, you know, move him around because Beltran's not going to be there and split time with Gattis when Gattis is going to split time behind the plate. I don't know.
Well, this is the ludicrous thing that I saw is they're already suggesting that the Astros are going to go out and add a catcher.
Oh, come on. Lucroy. You and I talked about it. I saw
Jonathan Lucroy mentioned as a guy that they may go after. And it's like, okay, why, that's like saying they're looking at a second baseman. Now, is Brian McCann and Evan Gattis all world at catcher? No. But that's not a deficiency on this team. Defensively throwing out runners? Okay. But you know what? There's worse things in the world that you could have a deficiency at. You can't afford it. You can't add a third guy and now be paying for two DHs, because that's essentially what you'd be doing with McCann, is turning him into a DH. You got to have a guy that can move around a little bit at least. Gattis will play a little left field. McCann's not playing anywhere else. He's done. He's catcher or DH. Yeah, that's it.
We goofed
and
around.
He doesn't hit good enough anymore to be a DH. Let's be real.
Absolutely. And we said, look, the only thing you need another catcher for is someone that can throw runners out. Other than that, I mean, again, yeah, McCann does a hell of a job managing the staff, but you're right. Neither one of them are going to hit for average, and Gattis is probably the best hitter of any of them.
So seeing that, I was like, you know what? That's just not their needs. Their needs, I mean, obviously is bullpen. Could they use another bat / outfielder? Yeah. I think you can. Do you feel like you trust Josh Reddick going into next year? I mean, he struggled in the postseason.
But he was great in the regular season.
But he wasn't bad in the regular season. Yeah, he seemed to be pretty clutch. But so was Marwin Gonzalez. So why would you replace that? I mean, see what Derek Fisher can do with a full season. He's not a rookie anymore. Give him an opportunity to platoon a little bit. You still have Jake Marisnyk, who's coming back. So yes. You know what I mean? You've got I don't know.
That's what I mean. You're going to lose Maben. We're all in agreement there. Maben's going to go somewhere else. He's already being courted by a lot of teams. So you go back to what you had, and what you had wasn't bad. And just replace Aoki with Derek Fisher, and, you know, it's a long grind of a season, and he'll get plenty of at-bats, and he'll get some seasoning. People forget that Josh Reddick had the best average at home of any player in the American League, well over 300. And we know that for all of his trials and tribulations in the playoffs, he was great in the regular season for this team. And Marisnyk had a better-than-average power year. He hit the ball better than anybody ever expected him to because of his previous years, and he looked like he was coming on before he had the thumb injury. So I think that's the least of your worries. I think you look at the bullpen, as we've mentioned from the get-go, and if you're going to look past the bullpen, you can look at, you know, a backup catcher if you want, or someone that can platoon and DH and play the outfield. But the only thing that I'd say that when you were talking that came to my mind is the benefit of being the World Series champ is you might get someone at a discount. Someone in free agency might fall into your lap that just wants to win.
You want me to read you a list of the top, what could be the top free agent left fielders? It starts with Jason Wirth.
From Philadelphia.
It starts with Jason Wirth.
I'm sorry, with the Nationals now. Played with the Phillies.
And goes to Melky Cabrera, Howie Kendrick, Colby Rasmus, Hyun-Soo Kim, Daniel Nava, Scott Van Slyke, Jaff Decker. Let me know when I get to someone that really shakes you to your core, that you feel like needs to be added over having Marwin in left with a guy that can also play the infield, and Derek Fisher as a backup, and moving Josh Reddick to right and Springer to center when you put in Jake Marisnyk. Let me know when any of that sounds better, because for me and my money, yeah, you could probably, you know, use that platoon where you put Marisnyk in center and Springer in right and Reddick in left and play that sometimes and give Fisher an opportunity and Marwin. And I just don't know if that's the thing. If you want to add a bat, but I mean, that's not the need on this team, right? It's the best offense in baseball.
The general manager's meetings are just wrapped up in Florida, and Lunau was quoted as saying, you know, look, they may look and see what's out there, but at the same time, they know exactly what they have, and everybody knows that Derek Fisher, after a hot start, fell off, but he was quick to remind people, so did Alex Bregman his first year, which we all remember.
Yep.
So look, the guy's got all the tools. We know he's got great speed. He's got some pop in his bat. He's a better-than-average defensive outfielder, and he's young, and so give him a chance. He was tearing up AAA, so you know what? He got some experience last year, and hopefully he'll make the most of it and have a good camp coming in. And you won't even have to worry about that problem, because if he just plays like he played at AAA or close to it, he'll be the perfect replacement for Aoki, and no one will have to worry.
Now, all that said, if you came to me and said, the Astros could go out and get Tony Watson on the cheap, but they'll spend some money on J.D. Martinez, put him in right, move Reddick to left. You good with that? I'd probably be pretty good with that.
JD Martinez could be a nice
ad. But that's a ton of money. I mean, he's probably going to get 25
for sure
mil a year.
He's got an agent named Scott Boras. And he's going to get max dollars.
Because that's the thing is, if they add a left fielder or any batter or any bat at this point, what you have to consider is they're keeping an eye on the future. You got a bunch of guys on that infield that you're going to have to pay.
Yep.
You can't go and add a JD Martinez
knowing and you be have able to afford.
That's right.
Springer, Correa,
you've got to make that decision, and I think you ride with who you got. It's a younger mix. It's a younger core. So you worry about paying those guys. Now, if you can find a Cameron Maben-esque, you know, or a Josh Reddick that they added in the offseason last year that you think is good value, he was a top 10 outfielder at the time for free agents. If you do that again in a reasonable price, that may be something that I would be all right with. But it's got to be a reasonable price because they need to pay their guys.
What do you think Luke Roy is going to bring on the open market? And because he's a better than average hitter, do you think...
Well, he had a bad year last year.
He had a bad year last year. Remember now, he bounced around. American League, National League, was back and forth. I'm just curious because of the fact that overall he's been known as a good stick throughout his career, that he's a guy that fills two different voids for you. He fills catcher and also designated hitter, and from time to time can fill in even at first base, which I believe he did in Texas.
I think he'll get in the neighborhood of $10 million a year. Somewhere between 10 and 15. If that falls at 12 and a half, if it's, you know, 14, if it's 11.
I was thinking around Reddick money, so.
I'm guessing somewhere in the neighborhood of 10. I think Reddick is what, make it 13?
I think he's 15.
Well, let me pull up his. Yeah, he's 13.
Okay.
Reddick's 13 for the next 3 years. So, I don't see that as a need. I mean, you got a guy that can handle the staff. Evan Gattis was kind of found money. He's the guy you thought might play first base and DH for sure, but you converted him to catcher and he played pretty well. All things considered, you've got some guys in Stassi that you might, you know, as a defensive replacement late if you think that that's what you need. But I don't know if spending money on a catcher makes sense right now.
I just agree.
Did that with McCann last year.
Yeah.
You don't need to do it again.
All right. So let us know what you think. If you want to join the show, you got something to chime in on that or other things, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, or hit us on Twitter. A reminder, Sigmund Bloom, 2:30 p.m. As he always does, he joins us on Thursdays at 2:30 to answer all your fantasy football questions. We do rapid fire. If you want to get your fantasy football question in via text or tweet, get it in ahead of time. If you want to call right up before 2:30 p.m. We'll try to get you in as fast as we possibly can because we like to get all the questions answered in the shortest amount of time that we can get through them. So, again, keep that stuff on your mind as you continue to listen to the show. We're going to take a quick break and come back with a whole lot more. One of the books, two to go, plenty more of the big show right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.